This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today. I love spending this time with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. Always eager to hear from you here on Women of Grace Live. And to that end, I invite you to give us a call. We have got people waiting to hear from you. Yes, we do. Let me give you that toll-free number to use if you are in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. Always eager to hear from you via social media as well. Simply go out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and or Facebook page and use the chat feature there. Put in your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. We'll be sure to get it retrieved and up on the board, and we'll be able to address whatever your question or concern or whatever your comment might be about. We look forward to hearing from you in every way that we possibly can. And here's yet another, a third way. You can always text us your question or comment. And how do you do that? Well, you text the letters EWTN to 58177. You wait for our response, and then you put in your question or comment. Tell us who you are, where you are, how it is that you're listening. And do know that message and data rates may apply. So all of those ways makes us available to you. Yes, indeed. And makes you available to us. And that's where the real fun begins, when we are together proclaiming the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful opportunity it is indeed. Well, I'll tell you what. I am fresh home from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Yes, I am. We were there this past weekend. I had been telling you all about this upcoming event that was going to take place at St. Andrew the Apostles Catholic Church there in Charleroi. And let me tell you what, oh, golly gee, it was just an absolutely amazing day in the Lord. It was incredible in ever so many ways. You sit back and you want to take some time to kind of let the Holy Spirit guide you through everything that happened so that you can formulate a certain response to the Lord, you know, for the generous outpouring of his blessings that you receive in these moments. And as I look back on the day, I am just abundantly grateful for all of the people that gave fiat to the Lord and came. It's not easy. We lead a very busy lives. I was just talking to my sister on the phone before we went on the air here, and I was saying, oh, honey, I said, there are so many moving parts in my life right now. You know, everything is moving in my life right now. And it's like that. We're very, very busy. And it doesn't matter if, you know, our profession keeps us hopping, home life keeps us hopping, our faith life keeps us hopping. All of it seems to hop together. And that keeps us potentially in a frenetic state. But we don't want to be that way. We want to be people of recollection. You know, Socrates once made a very important statement, and he said, "The unexamined life is a life not worth living." That's a big statement, the unexamined life. What does he mean by that? Well, I'm not really 100% sure what he means by it, but I'll tell you what my interpretation is. It means that we have to take those moments that we set apart to be recollected, to observe the movement of grace in our life, to observe the way in which God is interacting with us, to be sensitive to those movements of God's divine majesty and life in our life, to be attentive to the reflections of his life in ours, and to discern, you know, what is it that you want for me to do in light of all of this, Lord, right? So all of these questions can only be answered if we make time for recollection, if we just make time to let the Holy Spirit illuminate our heart and our mind and bring into the forefront of our minds that which he's been about. But in addition to be able to do such a thing, it means that we have to be open to the movement of grace and open to receiving that grace. And that's what took place in Pittsburgh. You know, the beautiful people that came, numbers of them, we had over 100 people that were there, delighted with each and every one of them. They were intentional. about setting apart that day, even though they had other pressing things that could have been done. And maybe, you know, in their list of priorities from a natural perspective should have been done. But they said, no, God comes first. And I'm going to take this day and I'm going to spend this day with him. And it was a day. It was at least 12 hours. I think actually by the time I got back to the hotel, it was a 14-hour day. Started early in the morning with Mass, 8:30 a.m. And we went at least until 9 o'clock that night. But I'll tell you, it was beautiful. And the front end of the day was about receiving the talks. Mike Aquilina was there, gave two brilliant talks. Mike was so on fire with the Holy Spirit. Brilliant talks that he gave, one on St. Joseph, one on friendship, that were just amazing. And then I gave two talks. We enjoyed the opportunity for confession throughout the day. We fellowshiped together as we ate meals. And then in the evening, and of course, all through the day, we were being regaled by the beautiful, beautiful vocals and a musical accompaniment of Praise Nation. Just this fantastic praise and worship team, of which Father Levi Hartle is a member, actually a founder, along with Joseph Jacobs. And then in the evening, we had a two-hour time of adoration of the Blessed Sacrament with praise and worship via Praise Nation. And, oh, it was so beautiful, just so beautiful, so powerful, absolutely so powerful. So I'm telling you all of this because these opportunities present themselves. And I think that everybody that went was blessed. I certainly was blessed. And I know others were too. Because there are other events that are coming up, and Women of Grace we're always doing events. As a matter of fact, I talked with one of my coworkers earlier and she says, oh, I can't talk. I just stepped away for a minute because we're in the Morning of Grace that's going on right now online. We're always offering these opportunities. And I want to exhort you. I think that that's what I'm doing here. I want to exhort you to make use of the opportunities that the Lord provides you with. And again, it's sacrificial. It's a sacrifice of praise often. But, you know, the best things come when we are united in a sacrificial action, because the greatest thing that ever happened by way of a sacrificial action. And what was that? Our salvation. And so to be intentional about the sacrifice required to be present to events like this that stimulate our faith and then give us the beautiful, I dare not even use this phrase, but I'm going to, spiritual fodder, spiritual food to take back into a time of recollection to see how the Holy Spirit was moving is key to growth in the spiritual life. Absolutely key. So I just want to put it out there to you today because, you know, I'm just so full of the Spirit right now. And here, looky, you can't looky. I'm looking at one of my cases that I keep my reading glasses in, and I've got a sticker on the front. It says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. That's Galatians 5, verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So we want to walk through this life with the Spirit of the living God. And we're able to do that to the extent that we open ourselves up to Him. So I'm just going to toss this out to you. Maybe there's been a time in your life when you attended an event and you were just, I don't know, lit up. You were just lit up by the fire of the Holy Spirit, or you received an anointing, or you received a healing, or something was made clear to you, or an illumination of heart came. I want to know about it today. 833-288-EWTN. Stay with us.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. Oh, golly gee, I'm so happy to be with you today. Let me give you a number that you can use. It's toll-free for you right here in North America. We want to hear from you today. Tom Price is out there doing the call screening for us. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. 866. That's the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where I love having that holy conversation with you. I love you. Yes, I do. I do. I do. I do. Also want to let you know that we're available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Each site has a chat feature. That's where you drop in your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. Tell us who you are. Tell us where you are. If you're not listening via social media, let us know how it is that you're listening. We want to know that too. And we are going to have Pedro Quiles collect your questions and comments that you leave for us there. So use that opportunity or text us. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your question or comment. Tell us who you are, where you are, how it is that you're listening. And do know that data and message rates may apply. And the other thing is, I forget to tell you this a lot, and I don't want to, but it just goes out of my mind. Please do also send your questions in to us by email. I love to get email questions. I do. womenofgrace@ewtn.com. It does not get any easier than that. womenofgrace@ewtn.com. We will get your questions and we will address them. We've got Mike out there. I'm hoping you're going to call too, 833-288-EWTN. I'm looking for a time when God showed up in your life big time through an event that you attended. And by the way, I know that we don't have an affiliate in Pittsburgh. I would like to see that happen. That would be grand. But if you are listening to us in Pittsburgh and you were at this beautiful event, we'd love to hear from you and to get your thoughts on the day and also how it was that the Holy Spirit met you there. He was waiting for you. Mike in Ottsville, Pennsylvania, with us listening via the EWTN app. Good morning to you, Mike.
Morning to you, John. It's a pleasure to speak with you. I'd like to tell you the first time God showed up to me in a very big way was, I think it probably at Steubenville University, where I attended conferences and got to meet a lot of good, holy people. And really, reading the scripture the first time through and, all sorts of wonderful things that occurred along the way. Getting involved in the charismatic renewal, then later on with the Legion of Mary, friendships that I still have there. So, it's been a wonderful, I think it's been like one long day, the spiritual journey, even though it's been many, many years, it's one long day because there seems to be such a continuity in the events once you come into the life of the Holy Spirit that one event leads to the other. And it's just been a beautiful experience,
So yes.
That would be my two cents on it.
Well, Mike, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I was just going to say marriage, of course, the sacrament of marriage is encountering the Lord with your spouse. And that's just been a wonderful gift to me, too. And then we adopted a number of children. So it's just been the sacramental life of the church has really been a powerful experience for me.
Jeez, Mike, what a beautiful testimony you're sharing with us today. And, I just love the fact that charismatic renewal and then Legion of Mary. And I smiled big on that here. And the reason why I did is because, if you want more of the Holy Spirit, get more of Mary. If you want more of Mary, get more of the Holy Spirit. They come together.
Wow.
And that was kind of like my journey, too, is that I came back to the faith through the charismatic renewal. But the prayer community that I was raised up in, basically at Espiritu Santo, fitting name for the parish, Espiritu Santo Catholic Church, was very Eucharistically minded, and it was very Marian oriented. And so I was blessed by that. And I got to know our Blessed Mother, in a way that I hadn't known her before. And I would also say that, through the years, my love for Mary has only grown. And as my love for Mary has grown, my love for her Son has grown. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit, the love for the Holy Spirit and the Father, God the Father, has grown. So, Mary is not part of the Trinity. We know that. But she is certainly one who works on their behalf. So,
amen. So true.
It thrilled me there. Where is Ottsville, PA?
Ottsville is, you're a Pittsburgh person, right?
Yeah.
Where Wexford is and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
I have a son, a stepson who lives up that way. Every time I travel up that way, I think of you because I thought you're from Pittsburgh. You taught English at one point, right?
I did.
Yeah, I've been following you there, Johnette.
Seems like it.
When Sue Brinkman was on your show, I love listening to Sue because when I taught school, I taught not in Knoxville initially, but you probably don't know Holland, Pennsylvania at all, but it's near Bensalem, all those places you know, right?
Well, I know the names more than I know them.
Yeah. But what I wanted to say was my Lansdale, if you know what Lansdale area is, if you know where Montgomeryville Mall is, it's Ottsville is in Bucks County, which is about maybe a half an hour to 40 minutes away, going towards Allentown, Paddock County area, you know?
Yeah, no, you know, I do know that area.
So.
We go up to Malvern every year, Mike.
Oh, yeah, it's a terrific place. I've been there many times.
Have you? Yeah, our Women of Grace event is
30 times.
Oh, yeah. Well, our Women of Grace event is coming up at the end of the last weekend of July. So just a shout out to everybody who happens to be a woman. Join us. It's a women's event. That's in Bucks County. And that's a beautiful part of Pennsylvania. It's just exquisite there.
Yeah, and as you know, it started out being a men's retreat house, but now it's open to both genders, and it's wonderful what they do at Malvern. I love Malvern myself, big fan of Malvern.
Yeah, me too.
Anyway,
we actually were one of the first women's groups to come in there when it opened up to women.
That's a good thing. I think that was really a wise decision on the part of the people who run the place, because there's so much available there for everyone at Malvern. The grounds are immaculately manicured and taken care of. You know, it's a beautiful place. And of course, you have in town there at Malvern, you have a great Catholic church. I think it's St. Patrick's. Have been there for a number of years, but and that too is a beautiful parish. But Malvern, the first time I went to Malvern, I went with my dad. That's going back a long time ago. And then after that, on my own for many, many, many years with some of my classmates. So I love Malvern.
Oh, gee, that's beautiful. Well, I hope that all of you listening who happen to be women will check out the dates. It's the last weekend, as I say, in July. We're going to be there. It's going to be a marvelous time. We have I'm going to be there, and Bishop William Walterscheid from the Diocese of Pittsburgh is going to be there. Dr. Donald Wallenfang from Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit is going to be with us. Kitty Cleveland from New Orleans area is going to be with us. Fantastic, fantastic lady. And Patricia Sandoval is going to be with us. And oh my goodness, she's got quite a testimony. The theme is Hope for the Journey. So it's going to be great. Did you have a prayer request, Mike? I've just been so enjoying chatting with you.
I'm
looking at this saying,
prayer
I think he wants prayer.
I wasn't going to mention it because when I heard the theme of the program, I turned in a little late. When I heard the theme of the program, I thought, well, maybe I should stay on task here and talk about the wonderful things that have happened and relationship to places we've been, you know.
Yes.
But, yeah, I do have a prayer request. I'll make it brief.
Okay.
We're moving, as I mentioned, and financially we're getting hit hard, you know. So I appreciate and my wife is having some health issues, so anything you can do for us by way of passing that on to your prayer team or perhaps right now with you, that would be great.
Well, sure. Well, let's just pray together. It's always the right time to pray.
So, amen. Amen.
That supersedes everything else. So, friends, let us all just come together now and just lift up Mike and all of the intentions that are in his heart, the ones that he has spoken specifically for his wife's health, and also for the financial concerns that we face at various junctures in our lives, especially when we're planning to make a change like a move. And so, Father, we do just come before you. And here is your son, Mike, and he's made in your image and likeness, and you are giddy crazy in love with him. And you desire only good things for him, Lord. And of course, when we talk about good things, we know that the best thing ever is you. You are goodness. And so into this moment of concern that he has financially and with regard to his wife's health issues, into this moment, Lord, we would ask that you would pour bountiful grace, a participation of your own divine life into this moment, Lord. I'm asking that that these two requests, and if we just picture them as vessels, right? We picture them as big buckets. Father God, we're just asking that you would fill them up now. Fill them up with your divine and holy love. Fill them up with your divine and holy power. Father, I'm asking that every need that is represented by these two areas of concern, every need in them, the ones that Mike can see, but also the ones that are hidden and not visible. All of the various ways in which things in the natural world have to come together to promote his wife's health and to promote a good move, a steady move, a logistically well-planned move, and a move that leads to even better things than he could have imagined. Father, we're asking now that you would just pour your divine life into this. I'm asking to look at your son's heart, Father God. Isn't it beautiful? It's just so beautiful. He loves you so much. He has just shared all of these stepping stones to his life of union with you, from the charismatic renewal to a deepening love for your mother through the Legion of Mary to the efforts that he made to get to all of the conferences and events at Steubenville, to all of the retreats that he's attended and all of the weekends that he's attended at Malvern. Father, this is a heart that is so pure, a heart that only desires union with you, and you can see that. You can see that by the decisions he's made. What about the fact, Father God, that he's adopted all of these children? Look at that generosity of heart, Lord. What a reflection of your own divine heart that is. What a reflection of the generosity of your heart. And so I'm asking, Father, that even as you're filling up these two very special requests with your divine and holy life, even more so, fill up Mike's heart, Lord. Fill it to overflowing. An innovatio, a new outpouring of grace, Lord, to meet these moments that are his right now. A new outpouring. Father, we've just celebrated Pentecost. Oh, I have such an anointing here, Mike. We just celebrated Pentecost, and we know what that means. We know that the Holy Spirit is just so ever active. He's always active, or we would cease to exist. But there's something new that he wants to do in each one of our hearts, in each one of our lives. And I'm asking for that to be made manifest now in Mike's life. I'm asking that St. Joseph, you would go before this holy man, this St. Joseph of this family, who in imitation of you, who exemplifying you in his own family life, seeks only God's will. I'm asking that you would intercede for him in a special way, along with your spouse, our Blessed Lady, along with her. We're just asking that all of the graces that were received by the Holy Family would be received by this Holy Family. Father, we do offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with a maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen. Well, heaven is pouring out, Mike. Are you there?
Thank you so much, Tanya. I appreciate your prayers. God bless you.
Oh, you're welcome. I'll keep praying, too. I'm tucking you into my rosary.
Thank you, Janet.
You're welcome.
So much. Tuck me in there.
I got you.
Bye-bye.
Tucked in. Bye-bye. God bless you. Bye-bye. Oh, my goodness. Wasn't that beautiful? I love witnesses, don't you? I mean, I just find them so stimulating and encouraging. And not only that, but they impact my heart in such a way that I want to lead a more virtuous life. You know, when I hear about such generosity of heart and, So God is so good, just ever so good. 833-288-EWTN, that's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we love having holy conversation with you. Out of the corner of my eye, and now with both of my eyes looking at her, I'm looking at this beautiful image of Saint Joan of Arc. So I don't know, maybe she is just saying, hey guys, you know, I'm here fighting a battle for you. So let's just, you know, take that to heart too. Thank you, Saint Joan of Arc. We're going to go to Matt. He is in Fallon, Nevada this morning, listening to us via YouTube. Hey Matt, how are you?
Hi Janet, how are you?
Dandy, thank you for asking.
Hi, I don't know if you I don't know if you remember me. If you don't, it's totally fine because my voice is way deeper, and this was years ago. But I was about 11 years old, I believe, maybe, when I first called into this program, and I unintentionally took over the rest of the show. I started, like, babbling endlessly about, you know, a lot of great things, but I took over the rest of the show by accident, but I'm going to try to keep this as a, I'll try to keep this as quick as I can, because I know other people might be trying to call in.
Well, I am sure that I was absolutely delighted by your 11-year-old babbling, which I'm sure was touching the hearts of everybody that was listening.
Yeah, I actually took a, that time that I called in, I took a glimpse at the live chat, and I didn't see all the messages clearly, but I saw, I'll never forget this one message that I saw in the live chat that said the simple statement of, there's so much wisdom in this kid, and I was very humbled by that statement, but to get very... I had to get very quickly in the two things I wanted to bring up. The first one being when it comes to learning about different parts of the Catholic faith, I really believe every Catholic, every member of the church starts learning about different elements of the faith at different times. And let's take a very heavy example of one of those elements, demonic possession. The first thing to say is, this is a discussion for another time, but there's a very, I've learned there's a very specific line between demonic and satanic. They are not, as far as I'm concerned, they're not in any way, shape, or form the same thing, but they can be confused as such. But let's look at demonic possession. It's important to learn about demonic possession and to know what it is and how it works. But in my experience, everyone starts learning about it at different times. Let's look at 3 years ago in early 2022 when I'm first going through confirmation class at age 16.
Matt, I'm going to ask you to hold on the story because you hear the music and we have a hard break and I don't want to lose you here. So stay with us. We'll pick up there, confirmation and your friend learning about demonic possession. So hold on to that thought. And friends, we invite you to stay with us through the break and let's hear what Matt has to say. And we want to hear from you too, 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN or get out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and or Facebook page. Coming right back. Stay tuned. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. Happy as a clam to be with you today. Stay tuned.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. I am happy to be with you today. We love spending this time with you. I'm inviting you to give us a call here, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. Always eager for you to text us your message. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response and we will get it up on the board and we will address it. You can also go to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page and use the chat feature. Just put your question or comment in there and we're going to get it and we will address it. So we've got Pedro Quiles out there doing the retrieving. We've got Tom Price on the phone today. We've got Rich Jesse sitting in for Vanessa Sanchez today. And we have Matt with us. Matt is out there in Fallon, Nevada. We're talking about demonic possession and satanic possession. And Matt shared with us that he called in when he was 11 years old. And we had quite a conversation on that beautiful day. And he's calling back now. He's a little bit older. And he's taking us to a moment in his life when he was being confirmed. He was 16 years old. And he began to tell us about this moment when we had to go to break. So he's going to pick up at that moment. And he's going to explain to us why he doesn't think that demonic possession and satanic possession are the same thing. So, Matt, let's hear about that moment of your confirmation.
Yes, hello.
I gave you a great big...
just making sure I can be heard, that's it. So, yeah, overall, so what I learned at the end of the day is that when it comes to learning what demonic possession actually is, how it works and how to fight it, et cetera, all that stuff, everyone starts learning about that at a different stage in their life. But again, back in 2022, when I'm first going through confirmation, one of my good friends, who I'll just refer to as Kay to respect her privacy, she is extremely devout in her faith. She is one of the most, like, for her age, and she's young. She's about 17 today. She's one of the most devout Catholic young ladies, most grounded Catholic young ladies you will ever meet in your life. I'm truly impressed. She's a wonderful friend of mine. She's like a sister to me. And when she started talking to me at this time about demonic possession, I could tell that I was not ready at all. And I had to keep stopping her over and over again, which she was happy to do, but I had to keep stopping her from talking about it, just because I wasn't yet at that stage to actually start learning what it was. But then let's fast forward a couple of years after that, in 2024, when I first watched the movie Nefarious, which most people probably have heard of that movie. Watched that movie was proof to me. At the time that I watched it, it was proof to me that I was finally ready, that I had the mental and spiritual groundedness, if that's a good way to say it, that I needed in order to start thinking about demonic possession and what it was, and to discuss it with my confirmation teacher, et cetera, what to learn about it, how to fight it properly, how it works, et cetera. And all that really taught me was that in early 2022, I was not ready to learn about demonic possession, because I simply just wasn't at that stage yet. At first, I was flat out denying that it even existed because of specific things I was going through in that period. But I simply wasn't ready at that time to learn what it was. But 2 years later, I had the groundedness that I need and started learning about it. So I think the whole moral of the story is that when it comes to really, really heavy concepts like that, it's important for everyone to learn about it at some point or another, but everyone starts learning it at a different pace. Even if you're, you know, 30, 40 years old, even if you're a full grown adult and that's when you first become comfortable learning about it, when you actually are ready to learn about it, whatever the case is, everyone starts learning at a different pace. And to say it as to say it as surely as I possibly can regarding the line between demonic and satanic, as far as I'm concerned, and I'm no expert on this, so please correct me if you need to, but as far as I'm concerned, the whole deal about demonic versus satanic is, I watch a lot of movies, so I'll use movies as example. Take, for example, the 2014 horror movie Annabelle, about this doll that is demonically possessed. They say this is based on a true story. This demonically possessed doll that this couple is working with a Catholic priest to defeat the evil force that is possessing the doll, somewhere along those lines. That is an example, in my experience, that's an example of demonic that is safe to go into if you're educated and learned, et cetera, to witness how the forces of evil actually work, how they like to meld themselves into our lives and how to fight back against it. But there's that movie, and then you've got a movie that is an entirely different deal. It's called, and most people have probably heard of this movie as well, two of them actually, called The Nun and The Nun 2. This is a completely different case. This entirely crosses the line of demonic and goes straight into satanic, and this is what my spiritual director and I have talked about as well. It's about a demonic nun. I kid you not, like, that is a very literal thing. Demonic nun is what the movie is about, and there's even a heretical line in the second trailer that I won't get into at this time, but it's the difference between demonic and satanic in my mind. Are demonic is just going over the forces of evil, how the forces of evil try to work in our lives and what we have to do to learn to fight and combat and to not allow it to possess us and cause destruction, while satanic is basically playing right into the devil's playground. It is directly praising the devil. It is encouraging the devil. It is endorsing and promoting the devil and all his works, et cetera, et cetera. Those are two entirely different lines. And you'll notice they make you feel different things spiritually. I would personally recommend to anyone who's ready to watch the Annabelle film. It was honestly very, very well made.
First of all, I don't like horror movies, so I'm not going to watch it. You mentioned Annabelle, and just ironically, last Wednesday on Wacky Wednesday with Sue Brinkman, we talked about Annabelle. So that's interesting to me.
Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. And because Annabelle is on tour right now, the doll. So we talk quite a bit about it, but I think I'd like to just interject a couple of things. First of all, I want to recommend to everybody that if you want information presented specifically through the church's teaching on these kinds of things, you can go out to our website, womenofgrace.com, and you can go to our on-demand section, and we have a series there on the demonic, right? I guess is the way to put it. The occult and all of the other kinds of things that we see going on, the New Age in general, that was presented at Malvern a couple of years ago by the chief exorcist of the Archdiocese of Manila in the Philippines. And Father Sakia does a magnificent job in helping us to understand these kinds of things. I agree with you, Matt, that everybody needs to be aware of it. Now, I think that you make a very true statement when you say, well, you know, there are certain points in time when people are more spiritually mature, et cetera, to be able to handle the information. However, I think that it's very important that even as we're raising our children, we help them to understand that there is a right and there is a wrong, and that the right is associated with our Lord Jesus Christ and the wrong is associated with the devil. And I remember growing up as a little girl, the religious sisters used to say, on your right shoulder is your guardian angel, on your left shoulder is a bad angel. Which one are you going to listen to? I mean, this is a very easy way for children to be able to begin to become sensitized to the fact that there are forces at work that want to take us toward our Lord and forces at work that want to take us away from our Lord. I think that you're really parsing too finely here, however, when you talk about the difference between satanic and demonic possession. Notice when we talk about satanic possession, what is that? Satanic is an adjective. It's describing a type of possession. But all of the evil, the proximate cause of evil is the evil one, is Satan. He's the proximate cause. It all goes back to him. He was the rebelling angel who took a third of the angels with him. And so all of those angels now, including himself, are demons. They are demons. He's the head honcho. So those demons work on his behalf. So in a certain sense, it's all satanic possession. For example, if you look at the good that is done, you know, God uses secondary instruments. He uses the angels. He uses the saints. But ultimately, what is the end result? The result is that which God is bringing about through that individual. And conversely, it works similarly with the evil one. So the demons do his bidding. Certainly we know there are satanic covens. We know that there are blood rituals and all of those things. That is the Lord of the Satanist is the devil. But it's the demons that are actually promoting that in that person. It's the demons that are inciting that person. Whether it's Satan himself or one of the demonic forces, it doesn't make any difference. I don't know that the analogy holds up with Annabelle and with the religious sister that you talked about, or the fake nun. It's got to be a fake nun or a nun that somehow opened herself up to the ability to become possessed. But Annabelle, while they might be talking about, you know, Annabelle being possessed, you know, possession really has to do with the soul. and a doll doesn't have a soul, it's more likely that there could be a curse on Annabelle as opposed to possession. You know, and the demonic is about the soul. It wants the soul. It wants to own the soul. There's no soul in a doll. They'll use that doll as a means to whet the appetite of somebody to become more involved in the occult or to check it out. You know, C.S. Lewis says that there's two equally dangerous attitudes that we can have towards the devil. One is an insatiable desire to know more, and the other one is to disbelieve that he exists. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure C.S. Lewis said that or Paul the Sixth said that. One of the two of them said that. But in either case, it's absolutely correct. We always want to be very cautious about delving too deeply into these dark topics, because it can create a morbid curiosity that then can become a type of an attachment, whether we want it to be or not. So we must know, but you are wise in saying, you know, there are certain things that we can take in at certain times. When Jesus frees all of these people in sacred scripture from demonic possession, that's what he's freeing them from, is demonic possession. He's freeing them from a demon that comes from the pit of hell to do Satan's bidding. So, you know, I think they're equally destroying. One is not worse than the other. They're both evil to the max. I would caution you about dividing this line, because in dividing that line, you're also kind of, in a sense, quantifying which one is better, which one is worse, or not better, but which of the two evils, which one is worse. There is no worse. And the goal of a demon is to get the soul of a person, and he'll use all kinds of things like Annabelle and even occult movies, to do this kind of a thing. The nun, who, I don't know if this is a true story or not, but the character in that particular movie was possessible because that person had a soul. And that's what they ultimately want. So possession comes by way of a soul. Cursing can be used. It can be cursed. It can have demons attached to it, but not demons possessing it. I don't think that works. I open myself up for correction too. If there's any exorcist that's listening today or a demonologist that's listening today, but that's my understanding of it. So, I think there's so much good in what you're saying. We just don't want to begin to become, too.
Well, and as I said,
being drawn here.
I do want to clarify that again. I'm not an expert in any way, shape, or form on any of this, just offering the knowledge that I currently have. But I absolutely agree with you 100% when it comes to demonic versus satanic. Neither is worse than the other. I absolutely agree with everything that you're saying. I absolutely do, and I will continue to do my own research.
Yeah.
And with the help of my spiritual director, et cetera. But overall, the real moral of this conversation is when it comes to learning about what these things actually are, with verifiable sources and how to fight them properly, everyone starts learning at that at a different level. And I feel like I sort of had to learn that the hard way, but that's I learned a lot of things the hard way, but that's the whole moral of the story is, and not just demonic and satanic possession, any element of the Catholic faith and the Catholic Church, any sort of religious concept, everyone starts learning it differently. Everyone's learning at a different pace. But again, back to what you said about teaching our children at a young age that there is the concepts of right and wrong, and like you said, the angel angel on your right and the good angel on the right and bad angel on the left, etc. I agree with all of that 100%. And if you don't mind, I don't know if we have the time for this. Maybe we could do it next time. But I also wanted to go into the chorus for this song by Skillet, two lines in the chorus specifically, just to give a deeper perspective on how it could empower Christians that feel spiritually weak in their faith and like they want to stand up for the faith, they just don't know how to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's save that for the next time. But I think that what you're sharing with us is important, and we have to look at these things like through the lens of what Holy Mother Church teaches us, which is why this series of teachings by Father Sakia, I think, are just so helpful and so very good for us to know. Also, too, the ways in which we open ourselves up to be affected by spirits, you know, and the different ways in which they can operate in our lives. One other thing, and I'm not suggesting that this is the case with you at all, so don't take this personally, but just something that's worth mentioning since we're on this topic, is that we can fall, sometimes people will fall into a bad habit of blaming everything on Satan, forgetting that we all have a San Andreas fault that runs through the center of our soul called concupiscence. And, you know, we ourselves can contribute to our own sufferings in this life, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, as well as physically, by giving way to grave sin. So just a word out there on that, you know, when we are opening ourselves up to temptation that can lead us into mortal sin, and should we have the unfortunate experience of falling into mortal sin, we are actually cutting ourselves off from the blessings God wants us to receive. It isn't that God's not sending the blessings. We're cutting ourselves off. That sin does not allow those blessings to be efficacious in our life. So that being said, we protect our, what is the best way to protect ourselves from any machination of the evil one or his demons? And the best way that we do that is by remaining in the state of grace. So we want to make use of the sacrament of reconciliation. We don't even want to weaken the soul. Mortal sin kills the life of God in us. Mortal sin, venial sin wounds the soul, right? It makes it more susceptible to bigger and bigger temptations. It doesn't kill, our relationship with the Lord, but it wounds it in a serious way. And you can relate that to any experience you've had in life where you've had an unfortunate falling out with a friend, or you say something that you deeply regret having said, and it causes a breach in the relationship. Well, that relationship has to be mended. There's got to be work that's done to restore that relationship. That's venial sin. If the act is a mortal sin, however egregious, offense against God, then what can happen is we'll find ourselves completely separated from God, and maybe we can liken that to a situation in where you just didn't say something really unfortunate to someone, but you actually did something to them, and it's created a terrible breach in the relationship that never is restored to the way that it once was. We never, ever want that to happen. So, just words on how is it then that we protect ourselves? Well, we protect ourselves primarily, most importantly, by remaining in a state of grace. And then we protect ourselves by having appropriate sacramentals, wearing a Blessed Miraculous Medal or a Blessed Saint Benedict Medal or a Blessed Crucifix, wearing your scapular, just a tremendous way to provide spiritual protection for ourselves. Also, to have sacramentals in the home, have holy water in the home, blessed salt in the home, religious objects in the home, religious objects in our car. Keep your rosary, keep a rosary in your car, blessed rosary, keep a blessed rosary in your car. Don't just let them hang from the mirror, however, please pray those beads. So all of these ways are ways in which we protect ourselves. And the other way is just by what we allow into our lives, Don't flirt. Don't flirt with the occult. Don't flirt with the New Age. Don't flirt with Eastern Oriental mysticism. Don't flirt with it, because the devil, he's very legalistic. He's going to take that as an invitation, whether you mean it that way or not. He's going to take it as an invitation, and he will certainly make his presence known at some point in time, because he's so prideful and he just can't help but do that. So, well, there you have it. Well, Matt, thank you, because you led to another very interesting conversation. So thank you, thank you, thank you for your call today. We're right here at the end of the program. I am grateful to all of you. Thank you for being with us right here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation. Tomorrow is Wednesday, by the way. And so Sue Brinkman will be with us, and we do talk about the weird and the wacky every Wednesday. So this is kind of a foretaste, a little bit of a prelude. And we invite you to be with us Monday through Friday at this same time on this same station as we discuss issues important to your life and faith. Listen, folks, we love you and we love all of our affiliates out there. Let's work together. Let's fight that good fight together to bring glory and honor to God and to win the day, win this day for Christ Jesus. God bless you now. Bye-bye.